Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I'm interested in this show because we're going to talk about mental health and also this brother's journey to Yahuwah, leaving this world. So I'll let my guest go ahead and introduce himself.
How's it going? First and foremost, all praise be to the Most High, Yahuwah. Just to be able to be in this situation, this moment, to share my testimony, it means a lot. So to get started, my name is Patrick. I'm from Southern California. I'm 30 years old, and I'm currently in the mental health field. So
how did you combine that? Take me to the process of you waking up, and then we'll go into how'd you merge that into the mental health awareness aspect of it.
Okay. Wow. So I'll probably have to jump a little bit, but initially waking up, it started with one of my cousins. So, you know, I grew up Jehovah's Witness. My mom was a Jehovah's Witness avid, you know, going to the Kingdom Hall and things. My father, so my mother is African American, Black, and then my father is a Nigerian. So I got that split going on. So yeah, he's kind of just, you know, traditional practices. He grew up Jehovah's Witness a little bit too back home, but he got out of the religion. So yeah, so I'm coming from that background. So I have a little stance on the Bible. Never really had a true ground. I always questioned things, questioned Christianity. I knew I couldn't be sitting up in a church somewhere. So one day my cousin came up to me. He introduced me to Pastor Darby, to Stephen Darby. So I know that's a common way a lot of people got into it. So from that point, I just got addicted. You know, I'm playing the YouTube videos, the hour long sermons, just sitting in, and I'm running through them, each one, you know. So from that point, you know, I got into Truth Unedited. Shout out to Brother Ron. You know, I love him dearly because a lot of his content really, you know, shaped my life, changed my life, and motivated me to you know, get into it. So I would just say it started there with that Stephen Darby, and then Truth Unedited, went down the rabbit hole, and, you know, I found you.
So coming out of Jehovah Witness, were you also participating before you left? Were you participating in going door to door as most Jehovah Witnesses do?
Brother Larry, I got invited to do it, but you know, I'm happy I didn't make it out to that. So I understand it, like it at the moment it was building like confidence, you know, people skills to have the ability to minister and, you know, quote scripture is a beautiful thing. But it's just the falsities that are rooted in it, you know. And it frustrates me to this day because I have conversations with my mom and she's just stuck, you know. It's hard to really to try to reason with her. I love her dearly, but it's just in due time I keep her in prayer and things. But no, I didn't get to that point of going door to door.
Did you deconstruct Jehovah's Witness religion at all? Like who founded it, where it came from?
So Charles Taz Russell, right? I think it was Joseph Rutherford, right? And you know, I'm sure it was rooted in masonry, which all of it mainly is. It always stems from like Pennsylvania somewhere. So I looked into that. I looked at some of the, like, you know, the disfellowship process. It's like you walk into a Kingdom Hall, you feel it. It's not spirit filled like that. It's a lot of information, but it's not spirit filled, you know. So
did it feel like a Masonic? I know you've never been into a Masonic lodge before, but did it feel like it was a lodge, like it was a brotherhood type of thing, the way they were organizing members?
Yeah, for the most part, because it's funny because most don't have windows. Most Kingdom Halls don't have windows. We all, you know, suit and tied up. As a kid, it's no separation. So it's not like a kid's ministry. Like everybody's getting that message that they're sending for that day. What gets to me is like the order of it. So you have like the body of elders, you have, they call it the faithful and discreet slave, which are quote unquote like the anointed brothers in New York. So they have a headquarters in New York. They call it Bethel. And that's where I get frustrated with the organization, because it's like that rock only stays with them. They don't really preach about being able to be moved by the Ruach HaKodesh, or how they may call it the Holy Spirit. So yeah, heck yeah. I see like the hierarchy, and it's like they have something called New Light that my mom was telling me about, to where they get updates. So if they want to change something to where, oh, they can have beards now, they call it New Light, and it's coming from them. So I'm like, oh, it's setting the stage. Like, oh, there's a new light stuff. They're gonna just come with, you know, anything at any moment to say this is what we're doing now.
I can see the infiltration, how they can move that into the one world religion by just like you said, just keep updating, and people are going to fall into that trap. Did you suffer any vices or wickedness and unrighteousness ever being a part of that religion?
Okay, so I would just say naturally, just being in this fallen world, I'll open up a little bit, regarding my what happened. Just so for me, like the main things that might be common, just like the just as a young man, young African American man, black man, Hebrew man, just women, number one, I was a big vice. So it all started pretty much when I was a kid. I grew up with a an older sister. I love her, but she had her friends around, So this is like in the early 2000s. So that type of influence, like when rap really started to come out, and it was this real this raunchy. So I'm surrounded with her high school friends, and pretty much I just remember this situation. She one of her friends, we're alone together in like the kitchen area, and we're eating, I was eating popsicles. I wanted another one, and she said, "Yeah, just do this for me. I'll give you another one. Do this for me." And she pretty much, came up and kissed me. So I'm young at the time. I'm probably like 4, maybe 3, and it was real awkward, real weird. It was just a tongue kiss, So I just at that point I just knew something was off, as a kid, So I couldn't really put my hand on it. But growing into it, got introduced to pornography, got real fixated, and yeah, so I guess that was it, just and then being promiscuous, and that was, that's my cross to bear. So I guess that sexual urge and things of that sort, that it got a hold of me, at that point. I could bring it back to that. But as far as coming from the Kingdom Hall, I was never rooted in it to where, I could point to that.
So yeah, it's not just your cross to bear, bro. It's
Yes, sir.
Yehuda's cross to bear, because if we go back to our bloodline, the tribe of Yehuda, that exactly what he suffered with. Obviously, his daughter-in-law Tamar dressed herself up as a harlot, and when he came off the field, he came off that field a little drunk, and he saw her, and he paid for a prostitute, and then he got trapped with that. So if you read the testaments of Yehuda, he goes in to tell you, like, always watch yourself when it comes to wine, too much wine, and women. Always watch yourself. And I think that's just a curse since him that's been a part of all of Yehuda and that tribe. And knowing that you conquered all of this, how does the mental health aspect grow with you at the same time that you came into this walk?
Oh boy. So for one, just it starts mentally. It starts in the mind. Regarding just like any sexual urge, for example, it starts mentally. You could say you want to change. You could refrain from pornography, from all those vices. But if until you change your mind, your thought process is not going anywhere. So, yeah. Sorry. I would just say, just really focusing in, and it's hard to really pinpoint mental health because I always got to point it back to the Bible. So it could be a lot of there's mental health practices that I say, you know what, this is scriptural. This is going through Proverbs. This is going through Psalms. This is understanding Yahusha and the gospel. So sorry if I answered that properly. It's
So how does one change their mind if their level of understanding when it comes to scripture is minimum? How do they change their mind from a mental a health aspect to be like, okay, I need to change my old behaviors into new behaviors? How would you go about telling them?
Okay, well, you would have to give it up. You would have to try elimination process. You would have to, it could be measurable. It could be to where from day to day you say, you know what, I'm gonna try and minimize this. If I'm doing it X amount of times, let's try to decrease it. I like to motivate and say go cold turkey and just deal with it. Go take it head on, and like I said, I'm calling out to the Most High. I'll bring it back to the Bible, but it just needs to be a day-to-day process. Don't put too much onto your plate. So just really make it measurable and just real intentional day in and day out.
That's an excellent understanding when you say make it measurable. So it's about building consistency, regardless if it's big, small, medium. As long as
Right.
you continue to build, you're going to get to the goal you want to get to, right?
Yes, sir.
So how in the mental health, how does that look for you right now? Is something that you were interested in? Like how does that become a thing? Like to be, I mean, mentally aware for you?
Okay, so I'll just a little bit of my story of how I got into it. So, growing up, I did football. I got to like the D1 level, San Jose State. I was doing the walk-on process, and that's when I had to make that decision. I seen the difference, like scholarship athletes and walk-on athletes is it's a a different lifestyle. So I'm like, man, I gotta work up to get to that. I still gotta sacrifice. I made it into the college academically, so I was still paying for school. And yeah, so I said, am I gonna continue this? And long story short, I think I had like an allergic reaction one day. I missed the practice, and the coaches brought me in and said, you know what, yeah, we're just gonna have to have you come back out next spring. So I was like, they helped me make my decision, and I said, this is where it ends. And I was in the college lifestyle too, so around a lot of young people. One day, what happened was I had an edible. So I'm dealing with little stressors as an 18-year-old. And I just got real, almost like a cannabis psychosis, I call it. It was just too much that I had at that point. And I experienced like just that paranoia. I felt like anxiety all in that moment. So I was like, man, yeah, I can't do this. I'm going back home. I ran across some teachers at a junior college back home, and they brought me into the field of psych. So pretty much I'm a licensed mental health worker, and yeah, so that's how it started. It started from going through the football phase, getting introduced to marijuana, you could just say drugs in that case, and saying, yeah, I need something bigger. I love the football thing, but it's bigger than this. So from that point, I did the program, and I worked at pretty much one of the biggest state facilities in California. So yeah, so I'm at a different one now. I could get into that as well, but it's a state facility, and yeah, we're dealing with some Hannibals and people of that sort who committed some heinous crimes, and they're ordered there by the courts. So
What would you say is the worst crime that somebody has ever been known to do
yeah.
in your facility?
Yeah, so a lot of the women, you get pointed towards like postpartum issues, so they taking the lives of their infants, families, taking the men taking the lives of their family members. I'm talking like wiping out entire families. So it gets yeah, it gets real sad, and yeah, like you gotta have a spiritual covering.
Let's go back into the postpartum, because I know there's some mothers who are single mothers or going to be mothers that listen to the show. I really want to go into that because I see that it is a problem amongst women that's not really being talked about, of why they resort to. I would say I know the reason why. In the Book of Enoch, it talks about the women who are pregnant or with child, and they will forsake their children and would discard them. And this is the time that we are living in. Do you feel it's more of a spiritual aspect and a mental aspect, or just is this the way this world is going right now? How do you explain? I don't know how if I'm saying it right. How could you explain to a woman that's never known Yah that it's a spiritual thing that's going on with them?
That's a beautiful question, because I also, not only with the postpartum, I wrote in everything, all the things that these people are facing, they're patching it up with medication, with antipsychotics. So that's my number one mission right now, is how can I do that? But with postpartum, I would just say, they can relate with the feeling of being exhausted, being not heard, not being understood, and like feeling trapped. So I would just ask them to pretty much like to seek out the higher power. I would just tell them about, because they understand the frustration with medication. The first thing they'll probably get is an antidepressant. Depending on how severe it is, it might be antipsychotic medication. So with them, yeah, I would just like try to really get on a personal level as far as just seeking that higher power, and And yeah, just calling out, and it's interesting too because it's like I got to be careful when I do it here. It's like I don't care at the end of the day. I know where this system's headed, but they try to really pinpoint like, oh, go through the chaplain, go through whatever they have there set
So
up.
they want them to go into a religion that's basically
Right.
the same thing as spiritual slavery and manipulating them spiritually. And if they go too far into religion, there's no coming out of it when trials and tribulations come back again, and they're just stuck. And then they're back to cursing the Most High God, who they think is the Most High God, through a religion. I'm saying, because this is a new topic, so I'm trying to find out
Yeah, no,
how
it's all
can you,
good. It's all good.
but for postpartum, are these women single mothers that you're dealing with, or are they married?
It's what's interesting is they come from like different variations. They can be the single mothers, the homeless women who are just on the streets. It could be I had some of the like some cookie cutter individuals and women that you could be like, wow, like yeah, I could see this person at like a Whole Foods or something, So like those individuals are were interesting cases because they succumb to it. I really feel like it was just it's really a spirit. It's something that the professionals can't really put their hand on. Yeah, like there's a situation that I can refer to without saying names or anything, but it was just an ongoing process for this lady, just dealing with depression and it pretty much spiraled. It's always like a spiral that happens. I know that people say like warning might come before destruction. So I always like try to look into it and I would like read into it and see like was there a warning and stuff. And there are small flags, small red flags. And yeah,
But
so
that's
yeah,
what I
that was
talked about. I talked
yeah.
about this on the last episode, that those generational curses, you don't know when they're going to pop their heads up. And I feel sorry for those who just truly don't know that they've had generational curses in their bloodline thousands of years back that pops up in this generation and is the reason why people suffer, and they don't know really why they suffer. Could you see generational curses playing a part in some of these women's downfall or spirals mentally?
Yeah, big time, big time. Whether it be them just coming from like a broken family, mental illness running in the family, and sometimes like we can hear like their parents during conferences or coming to visit, and yeah, it's really the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Personally, I could just give a testament to myself like and my walk, something that I dealt with was just like intrusive thoughts. That was a big thing for me. And so going down, like my mom, she deals with anxiety. And then so her mom, so my grandmother dealt with like some severities. Like I'm blessed to be here because she it was said that she would like, have conversations with like, things that people didn't see. She was a she, she was able to, she was old school. She was able to tough it out, maybe, drink through it. And she had about 12 kids, so I'm like I said, I'm blessed to
Hey,
be
so
here. She was
it's 12 of y'all?
this is sorry, this is
Oh.
my grandmother. So
Okay,
this is
okay, okay.
from my mom's
This guy,
side.
okay,
So
okay.
yeah, so but yeah, with a woman dealing with mental health, and she was able to, like I said, persevere enough to where she could have some great grandchildren, some beautiful things. So, just like as that example is, my mom dealing with anxiety, my grandma dealing with, things of that sort. And I'm like, I gotta go to war. I can't, like I said, going back to that edible and marijuana experience, I can't play around with these things, So, the enemy is just waiting for us to really slip up. So, and it, accuse us of something. So for me, the intrusive thoughts was a thing. I just dealt on, rebuking it, doing some fasting and just, trying to do what Yahusha did, rebuking with scripture. And yeah, just taking it day by day in that regard.
Now let's get into the male aspect of this mental health. Is there any crimes? Well, I could just assume it's a broad range of foolishness that men do. What do you feel is the men's, in a general sense, their downfall to end up in a mental health facility?
Oh, so number one is going to be drugs, Larry. Drugs, drugs, drugs. I would say second to drugs for sure, women for sure. It's like, some type of relationship that cause them to spiral. But number one, drugs. I feel like drugs really get them to that side, to be like taken over, almost like a possession, to commit crimes and things of that sort.
Is it the opioid addiction to for the most part, is it this the opioids that they take and or pain medications that they take that ends them up in the mental health facility?
Oh no! So for the main ones, I would say are the upper. So they're like on methamphetamine. It's a lot of, it's like marijuana, alcohol, but for crack cocaine, cocaine, those type of substance abuse disorders. But I'm telling you, methamphetamine is that common one. It gets them on like some type of, I don't know what it unlocks, but even to this day, they're dealing with getting it into the facility. They have their ways of soaking it in letters and stuff and getting it in still. So yeah, so it's
That's OD.
yeah.
So how do you deal with something like that, knowing that most of these patients are living through the curses that the Most High said, whatever we went through is going to pour out on these other nations. Has that ever come into your mind, is that when you deal with somebody that's really so far gone, that this is the punishment the Most High has already ordained on them? Or do you have sympathy and try to at least direct them towards Yahuwah, if that's even a possibility?
So, Brother Larry, it's a beautiful thing, because I feel like that's my mission. I feel like it's seldom. It's not a lot of people in this walk, first and foremost, that I run across at these, at work. They don't really, watch the. I bring up a Truth Unedited video. They have a hard time trying to watch that. Like scripture, it's all just, either, the Christian view or something else. So yeah, just for me, I just feel like I try to just I first and foremost, I feel like it's a cheat code, really, the fact that I'm able to understand it at this level, understand spiritually, so I do have an upper hand. So I really just try to approach it that way. You can see that it's a light as well, though, Larry, because the patients, they gravitate towards me. If I can, I'll try to sneak out, my Bible during downtime and read through it and just provide encouragement, but it's coming from that spiritual level. It's not just a DSM or, a feel good psychology book, but it's coming from the source. So yeah, I just feel like I do have that upper hand, and I try to sneak it in, small seeds. And I do say prayers too, Larry. I try. If somebody's going through a psychosis or breakdown, they start lashing out, in my head, I say a quick prayer. If I can, I can rebuke, the unclean spirits in that moment. And yeah, it's a battle, and you feel it too. So
And you talk about how you feel it. Do you ever take your work home with you? I see that you're married, right?
yes sir,
Do
yes sir.
you take the work home, or how do you leave
Man.
it? How do you leave the office at the office?
So that's my thing is, when I leave, I try to leave it with me. I call it like a work amnesia. So I try, I might go home, and the wifey likes to hear about some of the stories and things. So I have like a maybe a little quick vent period, but then at that point I say, let's stop, let's cut it off. I don't want to work overtime at home, bring it, because sometimes I have dreams about it too. You have, like borderline,
We'll talk
like,
definitely talk
so
about that. Go ahead.
yeah. Okay. So I try to, I'm telling you, like, the job is cool, it's a good pay. But at the same time, it's like I said, they don't deserve that to take over my life. So, it's a practice though, Larry, because you're seeing some things that weighs on you. It's like you got to sanctify yourself walking out of that place. So yeah, it's just a practice. It's not easy though. Like I said, I will allow myself to, vent a little bit. Oh, this is what happened. Big part is the staff that you're working with too. So they're dealing with mental illnesses too, to some degree. So
Has
yeah.
the dreams ever or visions ever affected you when you woke up?
Yeah, so man, to you know to so depending on, like, if it's like work related, it may have, whether it be just like just so pretty much recently, what I had was, it was a patient. I had like a dream, like pretty much like nightmares. A patient passed away, so we're doing CPR and reviving them. I kid you not, Larry, not to be cliche or anything, we're reviving them. And then, like I said, I stood back and did a prayer, and then he came back up. So I don't know if it's coincidental, but I think that was the most recent one that weighed on me. And Now thinking about it, I feel like it's just don't underestimate the power that I can bring there, you know? So yeah, so in the other things are like little stuff, like, oh, I lost my keys, and you know, we're panicking, looking around for them, and you know, little job oriented things like that. But as far as like my biggest one, that was like my last one. So I'm like, what, you know, what did that mean? You know, I try to discern it to the best of my ability.
Now, shifting to your relationship, how did you overcome lust and be able to keep your wife or get married to your wife and not having, maybe you have stumbling blocks or snares during their relationship, but how did you overcome lust to end up getting married?
Okay, so my current wife, we did go through that dating phase. We got I want to say I was at 27 when I got married. So you know, around the time guys are gonna be wilding out. So but this my story is you know, we're dating. We had like, you know, probably some fallouts. And you know, at times I'll entertain my other women, and you know, pornography was still in the picture. So the recipe wasn't, you know, wasn't cooking correctly. So my incident was one day I had like abdominal pain, and you know, I'm a healthy guy. I like to go to the gym. I was like, man, what is this? And I couldn't go to sleep. I was like, man, what is this? And this is 2023. And I went to the ER. I'm sorry, I went to urgent care first. And a doctor was feeling on my stomach, and he said, does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? I was like, yeah, it hurts right there. He's like, okay, go to ER. We got to rule out appendicitis. So I went to the ER. They put me through like the CT scan. And I feel like really at this point, Yah was talking to me at this point. So I never really had a major surgery. So they did their, you know, their work. They diagnosed me with a like acute appendicitis. So I'm like, oh, I always hear about this stuff, but now I'm like the one going through it. I'm like, what could have been, you know? So I just took it as a sign to straighten up. So, you know, they did the surgery. At that point, I was still dating with wifey. She helped me out a lot throughout the recovery process, making me soups. She baked me a cake and everything. And I said, you know what, y'all's pulling on my heart. He's telling me to, you know, choose up really. And from that point, I said, yeah, let's get married. You know, the thing is, I also did it. This is for people who are like struggling. Don't feel like you have to do it to appease people. Big weddings are beautiful, but I just went to the courthouse. I want to do it to where y'all could really, you know, just see that I'm taking them serious, and I don't want to be, you know, doing it the wrong way.
And did she ever go through this trial with you when it came to lust? Were you open to her about it? You say, "Hey, I'm struggling with porn. I'm struggling with lust right now. How can we work this together?" Or you internalized it and conquered it with yourself?
He for sure, it was both of us. It was I would, like I said, yeah, just or like you're bringing out, just being open, transparent, like, you know, this is what it is. I'd say, you know, it's a man, you know, men deal with it, but I'm just being more open about it. And yeah, she was present. I think that was the number one thing, just being there, not giving up. And then yeah, just and then Larry, like for me, just being in the walk, straightened me out, understanding that, you know what, like I said, that surgery, it got me. I'm like, wow, like I really, it humbled me. I was, you know, they brought me out on a wheelchair, you know, so I'm like, wow. So from that point, yeah, I started to really slow down, eliminate, and I felt that guilt, that conviction. I couldn't watch something and you know, and feel the same.
Right.
So.
Who's a little bit more into the walk, you or her? Like, have you been in it longer than she has, or y'all came into it the same time?
So for sure, I would say me, but I'm still like, I'm sharpening my tools, and she's sharpening her tools too. She's really catching up. But yeah, and you know, it took some work too. It took some work
Well,
behind it.
let's talk about that work, because I've had people email me to ask me about how do I deal with somebody who's not really in the walk when you're in the walk? Like, how do you deal with the confusion and also the disappointments, the stubbornness? Like, what has happened in your relationship concerning her when it came to doing the feast days or doing what Yahuwah has instructed us to do?
Okay, so whoa, how can I? All right, so I want to kind of like give a little background. So initially when I waking up, I had the surgery, we got married, and I did, like I said, I feel like y'all was calling me. From that point, I want to intertwine some stuff, Larry.
Yeah, go ahead,
So
go ahead. It's your
to bring
show. It's your
it all
show, bro.
together,
It's your
to bring it
show.
all together. Okay, so. So, a part of my waking up, I really feel like there's a point to where It was like spiritual attacks, Larry. So unfortunately, I was in, I was lost. I took that vaccine, Larry, in this mental health field. They were really pushing it on us, and I took that. And when we were dating, my wife was my current wife now. She was pushing me. She was saying, "Don't do it. Don't take it. Don't take it." And like now coming back as I'm, woken up, she's like, "Yeah, see, I told you." And I was like, "Yeah, like never again." Like, you know what I mean? Like they got to really come from my head. And at that point, it is what it is. But so started with that. I dealt with something recently. It was AFib, atrial fibrillation. So wifey was there, and I had to go to war. So I'll intertwine this with that marriage aspect. So she was there for me. She was trying to read the secret with me, watching like Truth Unedited episodes with me. And initially she came from Christianity. So I guess like that would be the main struggle, that just trying to bring her out of that doctrine, understanding who like the true Israelites are and things of that sort. She's biracial. Her dad's black and her mom's white. So yeah, that's a dynamic. They're doing holidays and things like that. So I guess like just throughout my struggles, like I said, dealing with that atrial fibrillation and saying, no, I have to be in this walk, and learning how to do the feast days and stuff, she eventually started to catch on, and she just got more and more interested. I love her dearly, but like certain feast days, just got a little pushback. I started like doing when I started to listen to your things, I started to get into like the burnt offerings and things of that, especially like on it was Feast of Tabernacles, right? Because it's like one every day. So she questioned it. She was like, oh, like for example, she's like, isn't that strange fire that was spoken of, and I was like, man, was it? Like what was it that made it strange fire? Because technically it's like, when they were doing it, when the our forefathers were doing it, it was like whole animals and unblemished and things like of that sort. So I'm like, I see what you're saying, but I like, dealing with this atrial fibrillation, I was getting better. The more and more I was getting into the walk, I was just getting better as I was doing these things. So I was telling her, this is the evidence. So even if you don't see it going your way, we gotta persist. So yeah, if I can answer that, just being persistent, Larry, just like keep staying 10 toes down and saying, I'm gonna do this and be the example. And she likes the feast days now. She likes making the unleavened bread, she likes making or the like I said, the major one was Sukkot, because that camping aspect. She liked doing that. So we just gotta be representation and show is this is what it is,
And so let me bring it back to the mental health aspect with our
Yes,
women.
sir. Yes,
Is
sir.
it, do you understand it now? Obviously, working in a facility where women are on the extreme other end of the spectrum, and also dealing with our women, that you can understand a little bit more that mentally and spiritually, but mentally, you know, they're a little off. There's a reason why they're the weaker vessel. That's not, to degrade them in any type of way, but Most High gave them a brain for them to understand a different the way we understand certain things. So have you ever approached her with the mental health aspect, like, this is the reason why you may feel this way, or this is the reason why you do the things that you do? Have you tried to counsel her that way?
Yeah, so yeah, so I like I said, the true mental health is the word. So yeah, I could talk to her all day about, the hormone imbalances and things of that sort. So yeah, so I do try to approach it like that. I work with the women, so I know for them it's like it's what you say. Sorry, it's how you say it. It's not more so, what it's been said. So I really love working with the women, man. It's like they have like a sweet spot in my heart. Because a real they'll listen to a man. They'll listen to a solid man who's honest, who shows that they care. That's one thing that I learned. At the end of the day, they'll end up listening to you and yielding to you. So yes, bringing it home with my wife, same thing. Just trying to be upright, trying to explain that it is a difference. She understands it. And yeah, I'm sorry. The another thing that she that really hit home for her was like the vow. So honestly, in the Book of Numbers, it talks about like pretty much if women makes a vow, it has to go through the man, right? And like if we're held at like different standards regarding vows. So that hit home. She's like, oh, y'all has to be like a girl's dad, because because like how he's giving them grace, like before you make that decision, go through your husband, he's not approved until so then, we read that and then she's like, wow, yeah, it's a true difference,
Is it basically submission through action more than submission through words? Because that's how some women just are. Like, before you say anything, they watch what you do, they watch how you are. So whatever comes out of your mouth, that is what they decide if they're going to listen to you or not, based on how you act throughout your life, right?
Yes, sir. I think is for sure is how you walk. It's for sure. And we talked about that too, like submission through action. Because technically, I'm like, if I'm wrong, like, can you is submission conditional? Like, is that should you just stay on? Like, because I think of Leah, and how it talked about how Yaakov lamented her, and like it's like he came to that like full circle moment to where he's like she was she didn't like raise her tongue against him, like all these beautiful things. So I'm like, she had to be like submissive the entire way, even if he was like hot about something or so it's a balance. I say for sure, I have to be the example, but at the same time it's like we have to be have that Yahusha type of like uncompromising type of submission and love.
Has she ever tested your word? Especially now she knows that you struggled with lust, you struggled with porn. Has she ever, women tend to do this, has she ever took the plunger and brought up some old stuff in order for her to not obey what you wanted or to be submissive to you?
But like seldom though, seldom, because I try to, I try to understand that like that this can be ammo. So I do see situations and like, it could be ammo. So forgiveness for sure could be a thing to where I'm like, we have to, and I just feel like it for sure could be a women thing that can hold on to things. So I always, like I said, just use that word, go back to the word. We got to forgive more than 7 times, 77 times, and just multiply and keep on. So yeah, for sure. Old things could come back, some of my old ways could creep in. And at the end of the day, if the shoe was on the other foot, who knows? I could, like, there's certain scars. I'm like, man, could I be that strong and forgive this? So I just try to ask for grace and give grace.
Have you guys had any kids?
No, y'all willing right now. We're just dealing with like just like infertility a little bit, like yeah. So PCOS on wifey's end, but I'm telling you, going back to the word, there's a lot of women who were barren, who through faith they had that breakthrough. So I always say y'all willing. People always ask, oh, when the baby's coming, when they coming, and y'all willing. This earth is about to shake up, so we'll see if it's a second Exodus baby or something.
Definitely, definitely, you guys need to read First Samuel, the first chapter, when
We
Hannah
finished
wanted the baby and the Most High shut up her womb for a while, and then boom, made it happen for her. Do you ever mental health awareness yourself? Like, do you ever catch yourself like, oh, nah, this is where I'm going back into old behaviors, or oh, this is why I'm triggered into going into this? Have you done that with yourself?
Yeah, I always like so like with coping skills. So I with all my patients, I say coping skills, coping skills, coping skills. It's for you and it's for me. It's like it's what you do to deal with life, So whether it be like frustration, whether it be financially worried about something, or just whatever it is, I'm in a predominantly like white area too. So certain things I just I gotta catch myself. So whether it be like trying to drink, trying to have negative thoughts and things like that, I do check myself. I'm like, okay, rethink that, find a better healthier mechanism to cope with whatever it is.
Do you feel mental health is going to be a big aspect when this system goes down? Because it will go down. And how are you going to prepare? I know we have the scriptures, we have the prophecies, we have, our Ruach HaKodesh, but mentally, how are you going to prepare for that time?
Yeah, so I think that's a big thing. Just the, like the mental fragility. I feel like the society and like we're in that DoorDash microwave society. So it's gonna be like when the rug gets pulled under our feet, it's gonna be like scary things. It's gonna be sad a little bit. So I just say prepare now. Like going back to like the coping skills I said, it's like it's not like a just in case thing. You prepare, you get them ready. You say, okay, I'm gonna do this to cope. I'm gonna develop this because it's going to happen. So when this happens, this is how you're gonna, deal with it and manage it. So yeah, for sure. I say things are gonna get shaky. I feel like it's gonna be high bouts of, depression. How I guess the psychologists say chemical imbalances, but it's gonna be at a real a time of to where they might not be able to seek the help that they can at this moment. They might not be able to go to the pharmacy and, get antipsychotics or anxiolytics to deal with, anxiety and things. So I just say right now, try to really, work on it now.
In
Work on it now.
your profession, do you see the cost of antidepressant and antipsychotic medication going up?
Oh, big time. Big
Okay.
time. There's times where we find out that we go to pharmacy and find out, this medication is worth this much. And yes, and it shouldn't be that much. It shouldn't, the big pharma's, running it up intentionally. So heck yeah, I think, it'd go. It's gonna be valuable. But I'm not a big proponent on the segment. It's like I feel like it's important, and for certain people, like it's like the last resort. But yeah, that is gonna it's gonna be like taken advantage of, sadly.
Yeah. I
So
feel that since cost is going to be rising, people aren't going to be able to f afford those medications, and they're going to be amongst us. Like, people are going to lose their minds being not on their medication because they can't
Right.
afford it. Do you feel that's going to play in how your safety is going to be of concern, because you're going to be working with these people, and then not only at the facility, but outside the facility, of people that you don't even know are going through it. Like, how do you prepare yourself for that? Are you going to, I don't know, uproot your family and move? Are you like, how are you going to defend yourself against this?
Man, so like we're going back to Revelation, and like the seals opening up and peace being taken away from the earth. I always say like how is it gonna happen? Is it gonna be subtle? Did it happen already? Is it gonna be just like a quick man, like they're turning up, like it's real turned up today, So there's times there to where it's hectic. So I almost feel like I'm preparing for like that peace to be taken away, being in these type of facilities, because these people go from 0 to 100. So I just leave it in y'all's hands, to be honest, because I'm like, I don't want to, be fearful. I know you talk about that too. Like you're not going nowhere. You're gonna sit down and have that popcorn, So I don't know. It might be, I might call in sick one day and, and it'll go from there. I might just not go back in and, we'll see. But, I just stay in prayer about it. And I try to be still. I try to be the help I can and, just be still until y'all moves me.
How have you been the rock for your family when it comes to these pagan feast days that our parents want us to be involved in?
Okay, so the good thing I would say, coming from like that JW type of background, like the holidays, it wasn't hard for me to break. So I mean, I'm like a teenager, like not doing my birthday. So that's one thing I could say that helped me out. But like for wifey, she like her birthday, and not only hers, but like her nieces and nephews, like it was a hard thing for her to try to break. And then like Christmas, things of that sort. And I just try to go to the root. I try to just say, what does it come from? What does it come from? I see the stuff around it, but how did it originate? So once we start getting to the root, we understand the root of Christmas, is wickedness. And then birthdays, so I know birthdays is kind of like a gray area for a lot of people, because it's, oh, we just want to celebrate, especially for kids, right? They just want to, oh, celebrate their, the next year and things of that sort, make them feel special. But it's like going to the Bible, nothing good happened on birthdays, So yeah, just understanding that, and your love for y'all needs to be greater than just a moment of celebration,
So going back to, again, the mental health aspect of it, how do we deal with our parents who aren't in the truth, but they need to be in the truth because it's their souls that is at stake right now? I mean, we have, Yah willing, more time than they do. How can we fight through that mental block that they have? It's also a spiritual block, but how can we fight through that mental block of, it's been like this all my life, this is the only thing I know, so I don't feel like I have to change because he hasn't cho told me to change or shown me I had to change. How do you fight through that?
Just being consistent, Larry. I feel like being consistent, being that model for them. For my case, like Recently, my dad had a birthday, and I didn't say happy birthday.
Yeah.
I caught it. He's an African. He's an Americanized, really, but Nigerian man. He's big on family, and my son. So I called him. I was like, how you doing, Dad? I just don't do birthdays. I just told him straight up, and he really got offended. He said, this is don't let religion or don't let what you're getting into like get you too far in. And my mom, she's like, she's on the Jehovah's Witness side, so she doesn't do them. But for him, it's just he at this point he was really trying to reel me back in. So I told him. So mentally, like I said, I'll be there for him. I'll be consistent. I'll be loving. I'll still honor my mother and father, but I still gotta uphold this walk. So. Like I said, for him, like I said, I'll just be respectful. I'll approach it that way. I'll yield accordingly, but I just won't fold regarding that practice. And one thing is that he's never heard me out yet. So I think there's a block, that block of like that just protecting his mental health or something, or that not ready to deal with that because he hasn't just said, okay, what is it that you're into? What is it that's different from what I came from, So just being showing that love, but all throughout the year, not just on these days.
Is there a cheat code to deal with somebody that's suffering from mental health issues? Is this like a word or phrase, or is there something that you are taught to kind of unlock a feature in their brain that makes them say, "Oh, okay, I have to reset myself and think of new information." Is there anything out there like that?
So I would say it more shows it's like different postures, different like they call it like using empathy. So it's like not taking on their not taking on their emotions, but more so understanding it. Just more so just giving people time, giving them space, allowing them to be human. So that's it's like it is levels to it. It is like you want to give them time to cool down. They have something called DBT, dialectical behavior therapy, that I'm a little suspicious. I'm like, okay, it's coming on the scene. What are they gonna do with this? But it's like a big thing that they're pushing now. So it's like a way of like giving them like a cool down period, having them think through certain things, and not just being so quick to like be that like help with that stigma. It's already a stigma there. So once you kind of show them, no, I'm here for you, I'm there for you. It really helps with them to bring them, down from the psychosis or, some of their delusions and things.
This is the end of the show where I give my guests some words of wisdoms that they have to bestow on our followers, especially you coming from the mental health field. Is there anything you could tell our women first, and then we'll do the men afterwards?
Okay. So women, be women. Really hone in on what that is. Do what's vital to the title, and men be men. And the only way to really find out how to be those things are going back to the word, calling on Yahweh, having that relationship, modeling Yahusha, our Savior, our Master. And I think we just got to really keep it simple. Really keep it simple, and go to those things. I am in the mental health field, but the beautiful thing is that the word shows that it's more to it. Spiritual trumps that mental health. It has to be spiritual before it gets mental. So men and women, I say focus on that. Understand is we have models, we have examples, and you're not alone, but understand who your model and example truly is. So I say just go to that word, go to that concordance, flip through examples of strong men and strong women, and you'll be all right. We're imperfect in this fallen world, but we'll rise above it all.
Thank you, my brother. Blessings to you and to your wife. And I hope
Thank you.
the next time I check in with you, you'd be like, "Yeah, bro, we're pregnant." So
Yes, sir.
I'm rooting for you, my man, and stay on that path. And thank you so much for including us into the mental health field and the facilities that you work in, especially exposing what it takes to be in there, but also what it takes to not go in there.
Yes,
So
sir.
thank you again, my brother, for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Larry.
No problem.
Take care.